this morning? Aren't you thankful to be saved, born again, and being in the family of God? Aren't you thankful for a church to come to worship and pray? The freedom we have here in America. We bless His name for that. You'll find our text this morning in the book of Zechariah, chapter number 11. Zechariah, it's the second to last book in the Old Testament. You find Matthew, turn back a few books, you'll find the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. The prophecy of Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 7. And I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock, and I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loatheth them, and their soul also adoreth me. Then said I will not feed you that dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And I let the rest eat, every one, the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. For they weighed for me my price, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price that was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will rise up a shepherd in the land that shall not visit those be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of all the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Father, this morning we want to thank you for your blessings. We want to thank you, Lord, for your presence. We know, Father, you said in the word, where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. Lord, I pray this morning you'd have preeminence. Lord, that you'd help us. Father, you'd let our eyes be upon you. You'd visit us, Lord. We need your visitation. We need your help. God, we need your grace that was sang about so beautifully this morning. Lord, we're assembled together. No doubt many are struggling and having hard times and hardships and troubles, Lord, that we don't even know about. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would help. God, that you'd show them that you can help, that you can render a hand that's not shortened. And Father, that your ear's not deaf, that you can't hear their prayers. But God, you are the God of all grace. Lord, we ask you, Father, to visit with us, to stir us, to help us. Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of your word for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Zechariah chapter 11. We know Zechariah is a prophet. In the 14 chapters of this beautiful book, he prophesies, he gives visions, he gives us some predictions that were to come. Some have been fulfilled, and some yet have come to pass. Zechariah, we know his name means Jehovah has remembered. We know Zechariah was born in the captivity of Babylon, but yet God remembered. He brought a remnant out of Babylon, and he brought Zechariah as a young child back to the promised land. God remembered his promise with Abraham. God remembered and heard the prayers and the cries of his people. And just like he always does, faithful and true, he answered their prayer. Aren't you glad tonight we serve a God that remembers, a God that does not forget, a God that never slumbers nor sleeps? Zechariah names means Jehovah has remembered. Jeremiah and the prophets of Isaiah have already come, and they were preaching in the day to turn. They were preaching in the day to turn back to God, to repent and to turn from their wicked ways, turn back to God and repent. But yet Zechariah comes on the scene. He's preaching, he's prophesying restoration. He comes and he preaches about the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and the restoration of God. Yet in chapter number 11, we find this scene, it changes completely. No longer is Zechariah preaching on the blessings and the mercies and the restoration of Israel, but he becomes and preaches and prophesies on something totally different, how God was going to send judgment. Now, what would these people do? Where would they go? Who would they turn to? Who would be their help? Who would protect them? Who would guide them? Who would keep them? And who would shelter them? We find this morning he speaks on some shepherds in Zechariah chapter number 11. I want to preach on the thought this morning, this shepherd is the best shepherd. Chapter 11, verse number 17, we find Zechariah, he deals with the coming of Jesus Christ. He deals with the rejection of Jesus Christ and his price of 30 pieces of silver. Chapter 11 is prophesying, is predicting the destruction and the devastation that was to come. The Romans, we know, were to come. They were to come from the north. They were to come and descend on Jerusalem. They were to come and ravage that city, destroy that city, and killing over 1 million Jews in the process. We find that was true in 70 A.D. In that day, God did not have mercy, nor he showed mercy upon his people. This judgment was come to the people that rejected God as their Lord and Savior. Rejected, and the judgment was to come for those that rejected him as their deity, as those that were going to forsake God, the true God, Lord Jehovah. The judgment was going to come to the people concerning their sins. And judgment was going to come to those shepherds we read about. These leaders, they were the ones in authority. They were the ones in the powerful positions of the nation of Israel. And God was to send judgment. We know as we read these texts that these shepherds, these ones in authority that Zechariah was speaking about, was none other than the prophets of the day, the priests of the day, and the kings of Israel. That was these shepherds. Verse number 8 tells us that God loathes them. He loathes their soul, and they had the mutual feeling. It says that their soul adores me. God loathes their ways, loathes their discernment. He loathes the way they took advantage and they profited off of religion. We see that they did not like the ways of God nor his direction. These shepherds, they oppressed God's children. The shepherds we're speaking about, they profited off their positions and off the practices of the very religion. These shepherds that are mentioned were the prophets, were the priests, and were the kings of that day. It's prophesied. We read that they would be cut off in 1 month. The people would perish. The city would be destroyed. There would be no food. Many would die. And yet those that would perish, that did not perish, they would be left to eat the flesh of one another. Starvation was to come. It came to pass in 70 AD. Zechariah, he's prophesying, but he's sinners. He focuses on this coming king, a king that was going to set up his kingdom. You say, preacher, we're living in perilous times. We're living in dark days. We're living in dark and demonic times, uncertain times, times of unrest, and times of the unknown. But there's good news this morning. The Bible says, when these things come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's a coming king this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord and Savior. He is the one coming back to get the family, the church of God. Peter said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. One preacher said, that tells me that Jesus died yesterday, we're living today, and he should be back sometime tomorrow. He's coming back for his church, for those that are saved, redeemed, washed by the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Zechariah tells us of this coming king. He tells us of these three shepherds of Israel. He's not only prophesying, he's not only telling us about what's to come to pass, but he's acting it out. He's portraying it among society and among the people of that day. How's this relate to us? How does this prophecy, some 520 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, relate to the 21st century church? I'm glad you asked. We no longer have prophets. We no longer have these ones that prophesy. There's no new prophecy. There's no new word. We know what's to come, for we have the Word of God. Let me say this morning, the Word of God, it's impeccable. The Word of God's infallible. The Word of God's inerrant, and the Word of God is everlasting. We no longer have prophets, as Zechariah did. We no longer have a priest. No more priest. Just one. Just one priest. The Bible says, seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. I like old Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ. We no longer have prophets. We no longer have priests. We no longer have kings. Except for one. Except the one who's blessed. The only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the man, Jesus Christ. In our text, we see some shepherds. Zechariah is speaking of some shepherds that's going to be cut off. Some shepherds that God was going to cut asunder, to do away with. He speaks of these shepherds. And in our text, we see there's one shepherd that has some staves. It's staffs. We know a shepherd would carry a staff. In verse number 7, the Bible says, I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even, poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staffs. One I called beauty. We're speaking about shepherds. Shepherds in the day of Zechariah. Some shepherds that were to come. Here a shepherd, he takes a staff. And he takes this staff, the type of shepherd, and calls it beauty. I see number one in our text, the beautiful shepherd. This is a lovely shepherd. This is a pretty shepherd. This is a cosmetic Christian. It's a shepherd that's all about presentation. A shepherd that's all about images. A shepherd that gives wonderful, eloquent sermons. A shepherd that gives uplifting stories. A shepherd that tells the masses that everything is going to be okay. These shepherds, these cosmetic Christians, they would wear their Christianity just like fine linen. I'm afraid in the 21st century, many of our churches, many of the Christendom we speak of has come this cosmetic Christianity. They wear Christ like a wardrobe. They change him from occasion to occasion to fit the situation. They're wanting heaven. They're wanting the blessings of God, but yet they never made Jesus Christ Lord over all. They put him on as cosmetic. Easy to be a cosmetic Christian. Paul said of these cosmetic Christians, they are traitors, heavy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's a beautiful shepherd to come, a cosmetic Christian that will be on the scene, ones that would want to just look cool and sound good, and their display would be enticing to the world. Instead of being conformed to God and conformed to Christ, they are conformed to the world. A cosmetic Christianity. Beautiful shepherd to come. What does Paul say about this cosmetic Christianity? He said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed, be not fashioned, be not patterned, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beautiful shepherds to come, we see it today. Cosmetic Christianity, we see it today. Changing with the trends, but yet never staying with the truth. Timothy, he was told about these cosmetic Christians. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their lust shall have heat to themselves, teachers having itching ears. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. A beautiful shepherd, pretty, cosmetic Christianity was to come. It's easy to be a beautiful, cosmetic Christian. But ask Isaiah how beautiful it was when he wrote that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was marred more than any other man. Ask how beautiful it was as our Savior stood in Pilate's hall, scourged as those cat o' nine tails ripped the flesh and the meat from the bones. Ask how beautiful it was as they platted that crown of thorns upon his head. They took that reed and smote him and spit and plucked out his beard. Ask those around the cross how beautiful it was as Jesus gasped for his last breath, cried, "It is finished," and the soldier came and pierced his side, and from come blood and water. Ask Joseph of Arimathea how beautiful it was when he took the sinless, lifeless body of Jesus Christ off the cross. Ask how beautiful it was. It's easy to be a beautiful shepherd, the cosmetic Christianity. But I want to say this morning, I will tell the world, both far and wide, as I travel here below, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. We find this is a beautiful shepherd was to come. But not only a beautiful shepherd to come, he was going to be cut off in verse number 10. But notice in verse number 7, there's another shepherd to come. This is a band's shepherd. Verse 7, and I took unto me two staves. That's her two staffs, tops of shepherd. One I called beauty, and the other I called bands. A band shepherd. The word bands, it means unity, togetherness, bringing everybody, everything, everyone together. Tolerant. Everyone's included. Everyone come. This band shepherd, he's going to come. He's going to bring everyone and everything together. He was going to come and say, it doesn't matter your doctrine. It doesn't matter your belief. It doesn't matter your standards. It doesn't matter if you believe in salvation by grace through faith. It doesn't matter what book of the Bible you read out of. It doesn't matter your theology. It doesn't matter what you think of Christ. Everyone is included. Everyone come together. Everyone be united. We see that movement today. It's called ecumenicalism, the ecumenical movement. It's a movement, a worldwide movement of worldwide Christianity, just to come together, no matter your doctrine, no matter your belief, no matter what you think of Jesus Christ. But let me say tonight, we don't need to lower our standards. We don't need to drop our doctrine. We don't need to bring everyone together. Let us not separate us from the world, but we need to be separated to Christ. A band shepherd. A band shepherd that would come. It's all about love. Just all about unity. All about togetherness. No matter your faith, your belief in doctrine. I wonder what Christ thought about the band shepherd. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Our belief in Jesus Christ, our doctrine, this book, it will not bring everybody together like a band shepherd, but rather it will separate like a sword. Jude thought about these band shepherds. He said, "It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly seriously, earnestly contend. That means to battle. That means to go against. That means to confront. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If it was good enough for the first century church, let me say this morning, it's good enough for the 21st century church. This band shepherd to come, preaching unity and love, and come as you are. It doesn't matter your belief. Everyone's welcome. Whatever you believe, whatever your doctrine is, all banded together. But notice verse 14. He said, then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, that I might break, he's going to break this brotherhood between Judah and Israel. A beautiful shepherd to come. There was a band shepherd that's going to bring everybody together under love and unity and tolerance. But I see there's another shepherd to come. Look at verse 16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye, and his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Here is a beautiful shepherd the Lord cuts off. There's a band shepherd he cuts asunder. Now there comes a blasphemous shepherd. Bible calls him a idol shepherd. We know this idol shepherd, this blasphemous shepherd, as we just read, is going to be wounded. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. He's talking this morning about this blasphemous shepherd, none other than the Antichrist. We know in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, it tells us of this blasphemous shepherd. It tells us of this idol shepherd. It tells us that this one would come and he would be wounded unto death. Yet that deadly wound would be healed, and all the world would wonder at him. He would go, he would sit in the temple, he would set himself up as God, and he would demand worship as God. It's a blasphemous shepherd to come. And as the world goes and flocks to this beautiful shepherd, and as the world runs and goes after the band shepherd, and one day they'll go and run after the blasphemous shepherd, there's another shepherd here. There's one that's sitting by the wayside. There's a shepherd that's been rejected. There was a shepherd that went unnoticed. There was a shepherd that was went and been cast to the side. Let me say, he wasn't a beautiful shepherd. He wasn't a band shepherd. He's not the blasphemous shepherd, but he is the best shepherd. We find that in verse 12 and 13. This best shepherd, verse 12, the Bible says, and I said unto them, this is Zechariah. He's acting it out. He's portraying it among the people. He says in 12, I think, if ye think good of me, or think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver, and the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. A goodly price that was prized at them, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Does it sound familiar? Just listen. Don't have to turn. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders and said, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Verse 12 and 13, we see one that is to come, the best shepherd that is to come. A best shepherd that's going to be rejected. They didn't want, nor did they think highly of this shepherd. He was only worth 30 pieces of silver. the price, the lowest price that you could pay for a slave in that day. We don't want you. We don't want this shepherd. We don't want your simplistic salvation. We don't want your bloody religion. We want the beautiful shepherd. We want the band shepherd. We'll even go after the blasphemous shepherd. But do not give us this band shepherd. Let me say to this morning, I want the best shepherd. Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There was a young boy in Sunday school. He was asked, can you quote the 23rd Psalm, verse number 1? He stood up and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. I think that'll do this morning. I want this shepherd. I need this shepherd. This shepherd, the good shepherd, the best shepherd, is the one that giveth his life for the sheep. I'm not waiting, nor am I looking for another shepherd. This shepherd this morning, he saved my soul. He's brought me out of the horrible pit. He's picked me up out of that marble clay. He's put peace in my heart, joy in my soul. He put a song of praise on my lips. He's gave me everlasting life. He's robed me in a raiment fit for a king. He's blessed me beyond measure, for he and he alone is the best shepherd. As Israel are going to flock after these shepherds, and as the church age is going to go and flock after the beautiful, the bands, and the blasphemous shepherd, let me say, all we need is the best shepherd. Thank God this morning we have the truth. This truth, he was full of grace and truth. Zechariah, he's given this prophecy. He's acting out this prophecy. He's impersonating these shepherds. And in verse number 15, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Zechariah is supposed to take these instruments. These instruments that a shepherd would use, but yet a foolish shepherd was going to use for the destruction and the demise and the destroying of God's people. Zechariah, they'll look like what the shepherd uses. Zechariah, this shepherd, he'll even be arrayed like a shepherd. They'll come in the form and the fashion of a shepherd. But take these instruments, these articles, these implements, these tools that a best shepherd would use. Let me say this morning, when the best shepherd comes, he's going to have a rod for some stubborn sheep. He's going to have some staff for some straying sheep. But thank God, he's going to have some oil for some suffering sheep. When his shepherd comes, he'll be carrying a shepherd's bag. And in his bag, he'll have some stones like David for the sheep startled by the enemy. In his bag, he's going to have some bread for some starving sheep. And in his bag, he'll be carrying a reed pipe to sing a song to soothe the sheep. I'll remind you this morning, this best shepherd, he's never forsaken us. He'll never leave us. He's provided for us. He's protected us. And in times like these, in the 21st century, we ought to love this shepherd even more. What a shepherd this morning. He's the best shepherd. What a savior. I guess what I'm trying to say, it's whatever you need this morning, this shepherd has in his bag. To the empty, he'll supply all your needs. To those that are hungry, he is the bread of life. To those that are thirsty, he's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. To those that are friendless, he is a friend that sticketh closer to than a brother. To the troubled this morning, he is a prince of peace. To the bound, he is the deliverer. To the lonely, he is our comforter. To the confused, he is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. To the hurting, he's the one that surely borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. To the bankrupt, he is the Lord of the bounty. To the sick, he's the great physician. To the overlooked, he is our companion. To the orphaned, he is Abba, Father. To the sinner this morning, let me say, he is the Savior. And to the sheep of the fold, he is the shepherd. He is the best shepherd, our shepherd, the one we need to look to. Do you know this shepherd? Are you looking to this shepherd? Do you see this shepherd? Are you in this shepherd's fold? Several years ago, I preached the message out of Psalms 23 entitled The Hounds of Heaven. Verse 6, it said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And just like those hounds, those bloodhounds, coon hounds, elk hounds, they'll chase, they'll give follow, they'll run down, they'll track that which they desire so much. These hounds of heaven, goodness and mercy, will follow us, will chase us, will track us down all the days of our life. After the message, Brother Roger Bright came to me. He said, Brother Gunn, as you was preaching, I noticed our stained glass window. And if you look at the stained glass window, there's many sheep in the fold. Some of them are drinking by the brook. Some of them are resting in the pasture. Some of them are grazing in the grass. But if you notice, not one of those sheep has their eyes on the shepherd. My question to you this morning, is your eyes on the best shepherd? You can rest assured the shepherd's eyes are upon his sheep. What I'm trying to say this morning, whatever your need is, whether it's salvation, whether it's comfort, whether it's a peace that you need, a word from God, this shepherd has it in his shepherd's bag. That's, you know, I'm the reason, and you're the reason this shepherd came. He left the portals of heaven. He came and lived a sinless life. He died on a cruel Roman cross. He was buried and rose again. All because of you. All because of me. Jesus asked the Pharisees, the scribes, and the religious rulers in that day, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth leave the 99 and go to the wilderness to go after that which is lost? If you lost this morning, if you don't know this shepherd as your Savior, this is a good place for the day. Today is the day of salvation if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand this morning. Missy, if you'll come, play something on the piano. This shepherd's here. Let me say he is the best shepherd. Maybe you're here this morning. You are a sheep of his fold. You might just want to slip out of your pew and come thank him for all he's done for you. I think we all can say this morning, this shepherd's been mighty, mighty good to us. The best shepherd. That's the shepherd I want. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Father, this morning, I pray that you'd help us. I pray you'd stir our hearts and minds. Lord, that you'd speak to us. Lord, I pray that you may be speaking to that one that's lost outside the fold, never received you, never replaced her faith upon you, the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. Lord, I pray this morning would be the morning, the day, the time, the hour, that they would come, they would surrender their heart, their life, place their faith in you. Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Father, for being good to me and my family, being good to this church, being good, Father, to us as your children. Lord, we don't deserve it. Father, we don't merit it, but it's because of your grace. I thank you for that. Help us this morning. Hear the hearts and the cries of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is, you can come to this altar.